There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
The internet's full of true crime podcasts. More and more are added to the list every day. Figuring out where to start or where to go next can be overwhelming. But have no fear, I'm here to help. I'm Bob Ruff, and this is the place to find your next true crime binge. Erica and I are joined today by Cadence and Alexa of the Something Sinister podcast. We just had a very awkward conversation. Turns out they like to tell dirty jokes, and we just don't put up with that kind of nonsense around here on True Crime Binge. You ladies are going to have to behave yourself.
Okay.
Oh, I know.
We'll try.
We're so bad, but we will try to control ourselves.
So how are you ladies doing?
I mean, other than recovering from a head cold and just making it through the holidays, I think we're doing pretty great. Alexa, how's it over there?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing pretty great as well. Ready for the holidays. I mean, I host it every year, so it's a whole like clusterfuck with my family. But at the end of the day, it's family, right?
I feel you. So we're recording this the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and I'm already like, whew, normally we don't record this late in the evening, but I don't want to be in the house because my wife is in there like rage cleaning because everybody's coming to our house on Thursday right now.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
So you have to establish yourself as like the least responsible member of the family so that nobody expects you to host Thanksgiving. And yeah, that's exactly me.
That's me. That is me. I'm a performer in my normal day job. And so I always like to, as you can tell, I'm actually backstage in my theater right now. I'm not in my laundry room. I'm in the theater's laundry room. And so I'm like, sorry, guys, I am just so busy with this life. I can't even leave the theater. So it's a great excuse.
Is that really where you're at? Because I was going to point out that I think this is a first that we've had somebody recording from a laundry room.
Yes. Nope. I am in our theater's laundry room because we have ring lights in here. And so I said, perfect. I mean, excuse the washer and dryer, but the ring lights, that's what I'm all about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're all just made up, nice ring light and beautiful, beautiful background. That's, you know, a lot of closets, first laundry room.
Yeah. There you go. Add it to your list.
Yeah. And Alexa, you appear to be recording from the inside of a lampshade. What's going on there?
You know, it's just the vibe that I chose for tonight. It spoke to me. No, they're curtains.
You better be careful.
Oh, it's a window.
Very nice curtains.
She's a part-time interior designer on the side. So Alexa, take notes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like super offended.
Yeah, you created a, you can see, Erica, tell me you can't see that being the inside.
No,
of the
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, with like
it's even got the little tassels. Okay, for sure. Yeah, like for sure. Very like 70s lampshade. Yeah, love it.
It looks like the lampshade on top of the leg lamp from from Christmas
Story. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Love that.
Fragile season.
Has anybody seen the new Christmas Story?
No, I saw that pop up on my Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever streaming service it is, and
it's HBO Max. No big deal.
Oh, there you go. There.
We got the Max up in here.
There you go.
We got that podcast money.
Oh, that's great.
So I got manipulated by Zach Weaver, who is one of the co-hosts on my other show on Truth and Justice, like. Strangely, like, text us out of the blue and was like, "Hey, are you guys have the kids tonight? We were thinking about coming over with Maddox and Sagan and watching the new Christmas Story." And so, like, Becky relays this to me because it was Zach's wife, and I was like, "That's, I mean, yeah, I mean, usually when they come over and we just drink bourbon, like, why, why are we okay?"
And then, like,
yeah, and they came over and we watched a movie. It was good. It was a good movie.
Good.
We watched the movie together while the kids were in a different room not watching it with us. And then at the end of it, it came out that it's because they don't have HBO Max.
So
we were used and manipulated into watching that movie with Zach and Michelle.
Sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Yep. Let's get into this. So Cadence, you said you work in theater. I see here in my notes from Erica that you live in Kaw, Missouri. I don't know where Kaw is. Kaw, Missouri. Where is that?
I know Kaw and Branson are spelled very similarly, but it's actually pronounced Branson, Missouri.
Wait, you're from Branson? Yes, thank you.
I am currently
where the fuck did Kaw come from? I assumed it was Kansas City. Like you tried to do KC.
That's what I'm telling you, Bob. I don't know what happens.
It's a common misconception. I forgive you. It happens all the time.
It's really close.
Yeah. Isn't that where like the aliens are or something? I feel like my grandmother went to Branson once to see aliens or something.
If you hang out here long enough, you'll definitely suspect that we have a few aliens. But Branson is considered the Midwest Vegas. I don't know why, honestly, other than the fact we have several Elvis impersonators. Other than that, I would never compare this town to Vegas by any means.
Not at all. Not at all.
No. If I'm going to be honest, the laundry, all I've ever seen of Kaw is the laundry room. And it does not look particularly Vegas-esque. It looks like you're in someone's back room or their back porch.
It's very Little House on the Prairie, which is very true to Branson. We're very God country, patriotism. I mean, it's a great town. Don't get me wrong. It's just absolutely not Vegas.
not Vegas at all. So no. All I know about you, I don't know much about you. I know that you were part of an ABBA tribute show.
Yes. Yep, I've done several things here. I was in an ABBA tribute show, Beach Boys. I'm currently in an Elvis tribute show, a tribute show to the 80s. So kind of a little bit of everything. If you pay me to sing and dance, I'll do it. So
yeah. So I was going to ask you what is a tribute show?
It depends. So like our ABBA show, for example, was like a modern show. It was two guys and two girls. We didn't impersonate ABBA, so we didn't do the goofy accents and clothing. We put a modern spin on it and we sang as us, just two ABBA songs.
Okay.
Whereas our Elvis show is very much, we wear costumes from that time period. We are obviously our Elvis tribute artist. He does Elvis to a T. So it kind of depends what tribute show you're seeing.
So what role do you play in the Elvis tribute? What role do you play?
It's a very important one. I play backup singer number one. So.
Oh, does that say that in the credits? Do you get an actual byline, backup singer number one?
They do announce my name, but other than that, I am just backup singer one of three. So
at least you're number one.
One is number one.
I deemed myself number one. I don't know actually what's on paper, but I like to consider myself number one.
Yeah, because can you imagine being backup singer number two? Like, I know. Even three is better for some, like just two, like you're just not memorable at all. You're just
exactly. So hey, you got to feel important somehow when you're just backup singing and dancing. So
is that your full time job? What you do for work is you sing and dance?
I do. Yep. It pays the bills, just believe it or not.
And family-wise, you're a dog mom?
I am, to a little Cavapoo named Rogan. Cavapoo.
What the fuck is a Cavapoo?
it's code for teddy bear. He's a King Cavalier Spaniel and mini poodle mix. Uh-huh. And he is named after what Alexa and I call Daddy Rogan, aka Joe Rogan. So
okay.
he's my little love baby.
Does that come from like the Fear Factor days? Like,
oh, you name it, girl. I don't care if it's Fear Factor or Yesterday. He is Daddy always. I am in love with that man. So
here you are, a dog mom living in Kaw, Missouri, and then. Let's move to you, Alexa. So these notes just get better and better. For you, I have no idea where you live. It just says married. That's it.
That is not all.
Alexa, that's all she is. That's all she is.
You're married.
That's it.
Bring on the patriarchy. My life is a mystery. You are just defined by your husband.
I did not write these notes. No, it wasn't me. It was somebody else.
Oh, I see here at the very bottom. At the very bottom, it says lives in Missouri. No specifics at all. Just somewhere in Missouri in a lampshade.
At least it's not. You know.
Yeah, it's not Kaw, Missouri, and I am in a lampshade, but, you know.
That's where she lives.
Yeah. I live about 45 minutes north of Cadence, so in a town called Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. We were once the meth capital of the United
congratulations.
States.
Congratulations. Congrats. It's Indianapolis, now where I live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, now I've passed the torch or I've passed the lamp over to you. live in Springfield, Missouri. It's great. It's definitely not like a little Vegas. I think our headquarters is what, like Bass Pro here? So if you know of like a Bass Pro sporting store, like that's where it's headquartered. I am married. Yes, I have.
You eloped to Iceland.
Yes, we eloped and got married in Iceland. It was literally the best decision.
I'm not gonna lie.
Was it a true? Pictures.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
She was stalking you on Instagram.
Doing
what she was
research.
Doing.
That's okay.
So was it like a true elope? Like you're just like
do,
and then your parents are calling you like Alexa, where are you? And you're like, I'm in Iceland getting married.
Not to that extent. No, I am such a planner. Like I had to plan everything out. So, just kind of told our parents like, hey, we love you. We're also going to do a wedding back home, but we want this to be like sentimental and special for the two of us.
So it's more of a destination wedding that no one was invited to.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Which, you know, listen, I feel you with the family coming over. Cause that's me. I have two brothers. Oh, yeah. And for some reason, well, it was a bluff really on our part. We got sick and tired. My wife and I are both in second marriages. So like our kids have like so many grandkids and there's people everywhere. And we used to bounce around all over the place. And then a few years back, I was like, you know, we're grown ass people. This is ridiculous. Like and so they're like, are you going to come to our house or go to your mother-in-law's house? And I was just like, listen, this was going to happen next. I'm going to make a turkey. And we're going to eat it. If y'all want to come here, you can come here and eat some of this turkey. But I'm not going anywhere anymore ever on a holiday. And I thought that would be it. But then what happened was everybody's like, cool, we'll come to your house. And now everybody fucking comes here every fourth Thursday of November.
Yep. Same. Same.
Yeah. Tried to get out of it. You're also a dog mom.
I am. Yeah. I have two miniature Australian shepherds, AKA normal miniature dog. Assholes. Yeah. They're not normal. They're assholes.
Oh my God. I have a friend with like three of those dogs and she would agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I love them. I would
They're
not want
so
one.
They're so cute.
But I love them. Zach has one. And whenever
Does
I go over
he?
To his house, yeah, it jumps into my chest. Uh-huh. I'm 6 foot one and it'll get all excited. And he named it Ambrosia because he likes the labyrinth. And I say, Ambrosia. And then she jumps up like all the way 6 feet up onto my chest. And then I hold her.
So cute. They are crazy, crazy dogs. But, you know, we love them so much. And no kids yet.
I hear you. There might be a bun in the oven, huh?
Yes, there is. I know. We are so excited. Just found out that it's a little boy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Congrats.
Do you have a name yet? Because I have a good boy name that no one will take.
No, we do not have a name.
Okay.
Tell me.
Hear me out. Boone.
Boone.
I like it. I actually
right?
like that. That's not a bad name. Yeah, that's a good one.
And Boone's actually, Alexa and I have a friend named Boone, or we know of a guy named Boone.
We do.
Do. It's good or a bad, pretty though. Badass
name. Did he ruin the name, or is the name still okay?
Yes, it's ruined.
Okay, good. Oh,
it's done. Ruined.
Yep.
Oh, no. Listen, fuck that guy. Listen to me. This,
yeah,
my
fuck
brother,
you, Boone.
Yeah, fuck you, Boone. My brother, who is the biggest hillbilly of all, I mean, I live in very rural Michigan, so there's a bunch of hillbillies around me. And my brother, like the hillbillies here, think he's a hillbilly. Like that's him. And he just had a boy 3 weeks ago, and they named him Waylon. It's pretty much what you expect by coming out of my brother.
Yes.
But if anybody would name, I'm like, dude, your kid, you live in Baroda, dude. When he's in kindergarten, there's going to be six Waylons in that class. Bunch of hillbillies all naming their kid Waylon. Name him Boone. And he wouldn't go for it. But I think you should consider Boone, Alexa. Boone's a pretty solid
name. You know, I'll add it to the list.
Yeah.
I'll add it to the list.
Put that right at the top of the list. I mean, it's pretty solid. I'm not... I'm fixed. So is my wife. I'm 43, and we have four kids. So I'm gonna have to name a dog Boone if somebody doesn't hurry up and name a kid Boone. Someone that I know.
Well, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. So you already know it's a boy. So how far along are you? Yeah. You're a couple months already.
A little over 4 months.
So what is that? I'm not gonna do math. Months. When's your due date?
I'm doing May.
Doing May. Nice spring baby.
Yes.
You know, I hear, now I've never been pregnant, believe it or not, but I hear that being real pregnant in the summertime sucks. And so I feel like you really did it right. Like you're going to go through like the worst part of pregnancy during the, you're in the Midwest.
The winter.
Yeah. And then like in like the spring, which everybody's like spring, and yeah, there's, you know, flowers and stuff, but also there's mud and you know, he wants to go out. It's raining all the fucking
and
time.
It's still kind of cold and we might get snow still in April.
I was gonna say, these days and snowing in May.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you just ride that out on the couch watching Netflix and then you poop the baby out in May and then you've got or however babies come out. I don't know how anatomy works.
And then, we'll just let you keep thinking that.
We'll let you keep thinking that story.
And then, listen, I'm outnumbered all the time on this show. It just occurred to me, there's always me and two or three women. So I have to defend myself.
That's Bob flexing. He knows a lot of women.
Yeah, right, right. Speaking of a flex.
I'm always surrounded by women.
Yeah. They're just everywhere. They're always hitting me up on the internet. I've been chatting with hot girls online all day. Don't be jealous.
Napoleon Dynamite, love a good movie.
Yeah, thank you for catching the reference. I saw a lot of blank faces. I was concerned.
Oh no, I was shaking my head in dismay.
But speaking of flexes, I hear you drive a Tesla, Alexa.
We both do.
Both.
We got them at the same time.
Wow.
Same day. Yeah.
That's you got that theater and interior design money going up in there. Damn.
Yeah, to be clear, I purchased the car when I was taking a break from theater and working in sales, went back into the theater and thought, well, fuck, this is going to live in my Tesla, I guess. So. Right.
Hey, if you got to
live
in the car.
You know what they say, you can live in your car, but you can't drive your house. So if you're going
to invest. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How you liking the Tesla, that big giant computer screen in the middle of it?
If there's anyone second to Joe Rogan, it's Tesla. So
Tesla, the car, not Elon
just
Musk,
car.
But
no, just the
car itself.
Yeah, to be clear, just the car.
Yeah. Do you guys have the ones that have the Shane Waters was on here and he's got the one that have like the doors that open. I'm doing a very visual thing on an audio podcast, but you see what I'm saying? I'm flapping my wings like a bird. You know what I mean?
Suicide doors.
Yeah. I always forget what they're called.
Is that what they're called? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Suicide doors.
I feel like those are the trucks that have a back door that opens the wrong way.
Mm-mm.
No, suicide doors. No.
You have me questioning.
I think it is the suicide doors.
Yeah, I like to go with the batwing doors.
I was going with pelican doors, but I might have made that up completely.
Well, that's doors. What they're going to be God, called
that's
now.
That's just what it looks like. Pelican. Nobody can see the visuals, but pelican. We all look like
that's
pelicans.
That's everything. When you think of just a beautiful machine with a big wingspan, everybody thinks pelican. Absolutely. Right, yeah.
The most gorgeous bird, of course.
Right. I'm pretty sure. I think they're great. Not suicide doors or pelican doors. I think you're both wrong. Probably. Especially Erica's wrong. They're definitely not pelican doors. Like falcon doors, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Pegasus.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Eagle door. Yep. You right? Except pelican. You can't call them that. But do you guys have the these doors?
No,
it's got
no,
the.
We do not.
Unfortunately, not.
We have. Yeah, we have the sedan. So it's a Model 3. Yeah,
Model 3. Oh, you guys have twin cars. Are they the same color?
We do. Yeah, they are.
That's awesome. Wow. Now, do you guys not drive very far?
Well, I used to, and not anymore. But I will say, traveling in a Tesla is the worst. Especially in the Midwest.
For her. Yeah.
For her.
Because everything's far away.
Yes.
That's what I think. When I hear people talking like we're going to buy whatever year be all electric cars, I'm like, that'll be cool when I drive to Montana and I have to stop every so many hours and sit there for how long does it take to charge them?
You know, it like, it just depends. There are chargers where it can charge within 15 to 20 minutes. None of them are located in the Midwest.
Right.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
Like California, Texas.
Are there any in Nebraska? Because that's on the way.
You know, so they do have chargers all along every major highway. They
right.
made sure of that, which is great. But like, Cadence and I both traveled to Oklahoma, and there's this small little dinky Tesla supercharger out in literally like the middle of nowhere. I think it's where you almost ran out of range, right?
Yeah.
You had like 2 miles left to get to the charger.
It was bad.
Yeah. That
yeah.
doesn't
so
sound appealing to me,
anxiety.
I'm going to be honest.
I was going to say like 100% yeah. anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I could see, like
it
I have a lot of friends.
Anxiety central.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends in LA that have Tesla. And it makes sense there because like yeah. you're in your car for mm-hmm. a long time, but you're not going anywhere if you've ever driven in LA. Like it's like, okay, so my meeting's 2 miles away. I better have my car get here to pick me up 3 hours ahead of time to drive the 2 miles. People
well,
thought I was
too. I mean, they have Tesla roadside. So in the event, like if a car runs out of gas, you can walk to the nearest gas station, have someone bring you gas, fill it up, and you're mm-hmm. good to go. With Tesla, obviously, you can't just charge on the side of the road, Tesla roadside. Mm-mm. But like for me, the closest Tesla dealership is 2.5 hours away. So
yeah.
mm-hmm. if that were the case and I needed someone to, you know, come and fix things for me, it's like, okay, well, we're looking at tomorrow. So at least.
Yeah.
So yeah, just, the
I'll
Midwest
just sit here with my $75,000 paperweight in the side of the road until tomorrow when somebody somebody shows up to charge it up. Yeah, it seems. And I can't imagine like when you're in Oklahoma, where was the closest Tesla dealership? I bet it was
you
a
know,
minute.
I think they have one in Tulsa.
Yeah.
I think there's one in Tulsa.
One, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you're going to be sitting there for a minute. Yeah, it just works. And I brought you guys on so we could talk about Tesla, and I'm glad you're here.
Surprise!
But I always think like I think everybody lives in a bubble somewhere, right? And we all mm-hmm. live in our own little bubbles. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when Musk and them were like designing the Tesla and the people that are like everybody should have an electric car, it's like, yeah, but you don't know like. You call us the flyover states. You don't know what life is like. Like right. here, it's a very different world
exactly.
here.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's for us to get to places.
Definitely.
It is.
All right, what else we got here? So this home decor business, how's that going?
So I just do it on the side. It's not like my daily profession. I just love interior design and I do it on the side every now and then. But my day-to-day job, I actually work at a healthcare software company. So I'm a bit of a nerd. I'm a product manager and so I work directly with engineering to develop the software.
I often...
She's the smart one.
Yeah, we have something in common.
I'm the smart one out of the group.
I very often am cussing engineers a lot of times. Just this weekend, I was working on my daughter's car, and I was like, who's the fucking idiot who decided to put the spark plugs there? Like, a simple maintenance part. You have to spend 6 hours tearing the entire engine apart to get to it.
I was just going to say how much I appreciate people like you, because I just got out of the lab using a $7,000 piece of very fancy software that... I'm very grateful for it because it saved me from doing something that by hand. So thank
well,
you for your
welcome.
Service.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's going to act like she's some kind of fucking hero now.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
She's my hero. You know what, Cadence? She's my hero.
Yeah,
appreciate
me.
That did sound a little bit like you were bragging.
Oh, no.
About
trust
how expensive
me.
Your machine was.
Oh, I didn't pay for it.
Erica does DNA... sciencey,
what,
nerdy
what
stuff.
What do I do, Bob? Yeah. Tell them what I do, Bob.
The sciencey DNA stuff that you do.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
you wear a lab because she's got a lab coat that mm-hmm. you wear sometimes.
That's awesome. This so sounds like me and Alex on our podcast. We've been friends for years now, and anytime someone is like, and what does Alexa do? And I'm like, honestly, I don't really know yet. So she does something with medical equipment
and computers or something.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a cousin like that. I still to this day, I just spent a week with him. We were up at my cabin for a week, and I have no idea what he does. Something with computers. I have no clue. No clue what he does. I know he makes more money than me doing whatever he's doing. Bullshit.
Exactly. There you go.
So how does this happen? How does something sinister happen? Well, don't point it. That looked like you were pointing at me, and I don't know.
So, when
you're pointing at the screen, it's just looking right at me.
So, Alexa and I met through, well, her husband and my boyfriend at the time were lifelong friends. And
is that
so,
Boone?
No, close.
Just trying to figure out why we don't like Boone so much.
Boone was also a mutual friend in this group, but he was kind of like the fun drunk guy.
As Boones are.
As all Boones are. Tracks. Alexa, I'm kind of starting to get on board with Bob here and Boone. Yeah. So, we were introduced just as friends. I feel like there was this like shift a few years ago where people started not only saying like, hey, it's okay to be interested in serial killers, but it's really okay to like bring it up every moment you can.
Right. Yeah.
So,
right.
Alexa and I were those friends. We started talking. I was like, wow, you like to talk about death and you also think you're funny. This might work. And so we threw around the idea of a podcast. I had a totally different genre of podcast a few years ago. I was like, well, I know a thing or two. Like, we could easily set this up. Let's do it. And so it was just like big bang. It just happened.
Like divine intervention.
Yeah, well, something like that.
Those two things you just said are very different. I don't know how you guys do with theology, but one of you is talking big bang and the other one is
divine. That literally describes our friendship. Yeah.
Couldn't be any more different, the two of those things. I want to know about your old podcast, your first podcast.
Oh, so my old podcast was called Shit the Audience Says.
Okay.
And it, I started it right before COVID happened, and it was an interview style podcast. And I would interview local entertainers in Branson because we get a lot of really offensive but hilarious like feedback from audience members. We do a lot of meet and greets. We have crazy stories to tell. So I'd bring these people on, and we'd talk about all of those stories. And of course, COVID happened. Interviews weren't really possible. Entertainers were kind of getting scattered all over the place looking for work. Mm-hmm. And so I unfortunately ended it, but it was pretty gold. I was actually really proud of that podcast.
Does it still exist? Can I go right now and download an episode?
You know, it's funny. I think it does. I don't know if Apple removed it. I think it might still be on Spotify. Please don't judge my sound.
I don't think Apple removes stuff. If you didn't take it down, it's still
maybe
there.
Maybe they didn't.
Shit the Audience Says. That's what it's called?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shit the Audience Says with Cadence is the full name. And I think you do have to take out shit because Apple wouldn't let me put shit.
SH*T or whatever.
Yeah. So that's a great question. I'm Googling it too. This is also very something sinister where we don't know something. So we're like, you know what? Let's just take a second and Google
it. Let's just have the listeners sit around for a few minutes.
I'm not, that's why we looked seen it, but I did type in shit, and that is.
Let's see.
Yeah, I did too.
Shit.
Let me just back that up. The audience says. How about that?
That's what I'm doing now. Yeah.
Don't be a nerd. Gosh.
I don't see it.
Yeah, us nerds. Huh. We're cutting the fast track.
Do you know when I first... So I'm so much older than you, Erica, that I remember back in the day when we used either Yahoo or Ask Jeeves to find anything on the internet. And I remember my neighbor who was a IT guy, and he was looking something up, and I was like, what is that? And he goes, this is the nerd internet. And he was using Google, like no one had heard of Google before.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There's like I think Google has like a super interesting origin story where it was like almost completely passed up by somebody and like barely made it. I don't know. I remember all
when
the details,
I started using Google, when my nerd neighbor showed me about it, like no one had ever heard of Google. It was just like this new search engine. We didn't know what search engine meant either.
That's true.
I'm still not entirely sure what it means.
So
I've made a search engine and I don't know what it means.
God, fucking bragging. This whole show is brag.
This was programming 101 in college. Trust me, it was nothing impressive.
Just quick made a search engine. So this is 2021. You guys you decide was it over drinks or was it a phone call? Was it just
probably drinks? Everything evolves. It circles around drinks with us, which is part of the podcast too.
Yeah, for sure.
But Yeah, I don't, honestly, we've tried to sit back.
Fucking Erica's drinking a beer right now. You're on the clock, lady.
I was miming. It's sitting over here waiting for
me. I'm kidding,
now.
Drink your beer.
We have tried to pinpoint when this actually happened. Alexa, do you remember? Mm-hmm.
I don't. I know for a fact I was probably there at your house, uh-huh. and we, you know, like discussed what we wanted to do, but I don't know. I don't know exactly when.
That's so weird. Listen, did one of you have a stroke? This was last year. This isn't like, it was like, I was so long
she
ago.
Did.
I can't remember.
It was
9 months ago. You started the podcast. Oh, yeah, you're like, I don't know how it started. Just one day I woke up and you're on episode 13.
Honestly,
I think
Caden's
roofied Alexa. That's what I'm feeling.
She probably
possibly. I can tell you how the name came about. We threw around, we wanted to be called Sinister Sisters. I mean, obviously it's catchy. We're friends. And we were doing a ton of research, and Sinister Sisters has been so overly used by other podcasts. Yeah. And there's like, there was another one that was like the Sinister Sisters Coven or what. I don't remember.
Or Sinister Sisterhood or something. Something like that.
But I had a dream. I had a dream that because we wanted to use the word sinister. That was something where like, that is just such a good word that you don't hear all the time. And sinister would encompass
instances where you,
except
you
for know, all
said that everyone
used podcasts.
It, right? Yeah, other than those. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've caught on, Alexa and I aren't really like sorority girl types. And so I was like, sisters.
That was, by the way, Cadence, that was the best Alexa Rose impersonation I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh my god, amazing. Yes. Yeah. Ew, David. We need to do these on YouTube now. Yeah,
right. Just for that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not really a sorority, like pink wearing sisterhood type chicks. And so but sinister. And so I had this dream where we just kept saying something sinister, like let's find an alliteration here, something sinister, something. And then it was like, oh, that's the name. It's just something sinister.
There you go.
Yeah. And then we can do serial killers, we can do cults, we can talk about the dark side of astrology, we can get wasted. I mean, it's all like sinistery witchy things,
right?
So it's just something. And it's so funny when you tell people your podcast name and you're like, oh, it's something sinister. They're like, what sinister? Like, something like, sinister.
We're like,
it sounds intriguing. What is it?
Yeah, it's who's on first?
I know. Yeah, you already said that. What's it called? Yeah. Yeah, clever. So you what are your drinks of choice when you're doing your sinister drinking?
Oh, always tequila. Always tequila.
Always. Did not see that coming.
Well, I mean,
I saw that.
So
wine,
not
to be honest,
but tequila.
Like, that's kind of the thing, right? Two girls drink wine.
So
90%.
Oh yeah, that's never
90% tequila.
We're so basic.
Yeah, a couple of basic white girls.
Hey, tequilas. If you can like party with tequila, that's impressive. Always.
When you say tequila, what are we? Are we talking like you're doing shots? What are you doing?
We definitely did a tequila taste test where we were shooting a lot of tequila.
So you girls, you ladies, put the pedal to the metal. You're not like sometimes we're doing evening recordings. I might have a drink, you know, during the recording, but never shots.
We, like, get drunk
of tequilas. Like you get hammered. So do the episode just kind of just tail off at the end? And by the way, this explains why you don't remember how it started.
Yes, right. Yeah. I think Caden said it was probably alcohol related.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
All
right.
Especially when we try to keep our pod each episode around an hour. But there are some nights because we do have to travel a little bit to record where we're like, hey, let's try to knock out a couple episodes. Each episode is a drinking game itself, like drink when you hear the word murder, serial killer, or rape, or whatever awful term we use that day. So that it's the nights where it's like, okay, now on to episode two. Okay, now
we're already
a short
drunk.
Sinister story. Drink along with us, guys. Those are the ones that get a little slurry.
Yeah, they get a little saucy. We did that way back. I used to do a podcast called Off Duty. Way back was my first podcast, and it was kind of a comedy podcast. And a couple of times we're like, you know, it'll be fun. Let's get wasted while we do the podcast. And it was so much fun. And then we listened to it the next day. We're like, oh my God, what the fuck were we doing? This is awful. The worst thing ever. Awesome. But you ladies pull it off. You got a lot of moxie, the two of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So let's talk about you. Interestingly enough, now these, I don't know how these episodes are going to air, but I literally discussed the Delphi case with from Red Handed, Saruti and Hannah, 4 hours ago. So I'm really on the Delphi, and
a lot longer than 4 hours ago.
I don't know how time works. Let's be honest.
Have you been drinking? Did you drink that one too?
How many shots did you have in those last
busy day? 4 hours. Seemed like 4 hours ago. There's no windows in this room. I have no idea what time it is. But I'm pretty sure you just copied and pasted your notes here, Erica, and that's upsetting.
I mean, you literally chastised me earlier in today's earlier interview for even giving you notes. So I don't know. Like you can't be pleased.
Because I'm basically a Delphi expert. No big deal.
I mean.
So you guys want to talk Delphi? I'm ready to talk Delphi. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, we want to talk Delphi.
Let's do it. I feel a little pressure since you went over all this. I'm like, oh, shit.
The nice part about this is we can all assume that the audience knows the basics of the case because the episode they heard last week broke down, Saruti broke down all the basics of the case. Mm-hmm. So we can dig into the investigation, what you guys think and latest developments. What was that, Erica?
I was saying theories. Yeah, we can get spicy with it.
I heard what you said. It was the gestures that were upsetting.
I'm drinking a beer. I'm loose tonight.
Okay.
So what do you guys think about Delphi? You've covered it on your show.
So we covered it in collaboration with another podcaster. And so we kind of, and her podcast was based on a lot of conspiracy. And so we kind of did the basics. We're going to cover what we know and we're going to talk about the conspiracy behind it. But I think even since then, there has been new developments on the case. And so I think what we kind of had outlined here, because we weren't sure exactly what we're going to cover, is we have a basic timeline. If your people know that, great, because that basically cuts out my portion. And Alexa
I think it'd be good for the audience to hear. A big part of this for the audience to hear how you guys cover a case. And we didn't really do any timeline with Saruti and Hannah. So let's hear it. I want to hear Caden's breakdown of timeline.
Great. And Alexa did tell me, just to preface this, she's like, Cadence, you cannot use Wikipedia. This is a big deal. And so I said, okay. So I went through and found news article timelines, guys. So,
FYI, I totally use Wikipedia for my notes.
Yeah, it's all, Erica's all Wikipedia. All the time. I don't know why you think this is a big deal. It's not.
That is her. That is her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all there. I donate, whatever. If Wikipedia gets it wrong, I blame them.
So. Alexa, I'm going to ask you, if all of you guys could quit pointing at the screen, because every time I think you're pointing at me, she said again, she's like, that's all her. And I'm like, I'm not her. That's me.
Like, that's
it looks like you're pointing right at me.
Very expressive.
Yeah. Proceed. Let's hear. What do you got timeline?
So we are going to take it back. February 13th, 2017, that is when all of this started. It's around 1:30, and we're just going to call them Abby and Libby. They are dropped off at the, and also, I'm horrible at pronouncing these words. Is it Monon High Bridge? Monon?
Yeah, you got it.
Monon? Yep. Okay, perfect. Monon. Delphi, Indiana. This is a hiking spot for these girls. So it's nothing that's out of the usual. What we know for a fact is that Libby posted a picture of Abby walking across the bridge around 2:07. Few hours later, a family member arrives to pick them up. The girls are nowhere to be found. So they're both reported missing that night. As far as we know, everybody was on it, which Alexa and I find this all the time in these cases, that when you're dealing with teenagers, especially when everything else is business as usual, they're not always taken seriously immediately. This case seemed to be taken pretty seriously. Family immediately starts searching the area. And by that evening, they do have the Carroll County Sheriff's Department, Delphi Police, Delphi Fire Department, Department of Natural Resources joining in on the search. So that is to note, though, as far as the conspiracy goes, because by midnight that night, search is called off for the night. they're going to resume in the morning. And they do state, the sheriff says that he doesn't believe that the girls were in any imminent danger. But mm-hmm. we're going to join back in tomorrow. Search starts at 10 a.m. By a little after noon, they do discover the bodies 3/4 of a mile away from the bridge where they were dropped off. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of, at least from what we covered, I think, in the past, where this conspiracy starts. Because
right.
you have multiple departments searching. You have friends and family searching. People for were hours. On this. And 3/4 of a mile away, the bodies are found. It's very, very strange. So, notes, blah, 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 blah. So February 15th, and all they, I should note that all they say about the situation at this time is that it's not good. They have bodies. So mm-hmm. the next day, they officially identify the girls' bodies. It is Abby and Libby. And they take that picture, or they take a screenshot, basically, of the video that was on Abby's phone. She recorded a man approaching, what seemed to be approaching them on the bridge. Mm-hmm. At this time, though, so only a couple days later, all that we know is that that this exists based on a screenshot photo. So they haven't really released much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And from this video, you can hear a man saying, "Down the hill." That's it.
Right.
So police are asking for help. You know, please help us identify this man by this still image and by this voice recording. So February 16th, a search warrant is issued at a home on Bicycle Bridge Road. Nothing comes from it. No arrests are made. So they're like, whatever. Obviously, at this point, gaining huge traction over the next few days. Hundreds of investigators join the case. There's public visitations. They officially call this man in the video the prime suspect, even though they know nothing about him. And February 22nd, this is when the audio clip is officially released. So, blah, 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 blah. Where am I at? Okay. So they call Libby a hero. She obviously had this instinct because they were on Snapchat, but this is just an actual video recording. This 14-year-old girl thinks to pull out her phone, record what you can. And so the a tip line is established. FBI gets involved. They put up, I think it was something around 6,000 electronic billboards all across the country asking for any evidence in this case. I mean, it really took off. So there's rewards being issued for any information on the man or so let's see. Where did I put that we have the first? It's not until blah, 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 blah. March 2017, there's a press conference. They execute a search warrant for the home of a man named Ron Logan. He owns the property where these girls' bodies are found. Mm-hmm. They consider this normal routine, but he was never named a suspect. Nothing was discovered there, at least at this time. So April 2017, there are still no suspects, thousands of tips, hundreds of interviews. July, police release the sketch. Here we go. Considered, this is the man. So they base this off of the video. He is described as white male, reddish brown hair, prominent nose, goatee, cap, a hooded sweater, between 5'6 and 5'10, 180 to 122 pounds.
I have a little information for you.
220 pounds.
That I learned.
That's what I meant.
That I learned this morning is this: the sketch was not, I knew it was not the video, but I knew there had to be a witness. But apparently the witness who gave the information for the sketch has been identified. It was, what did they say, Erica? Was it like a 16-year-old girl?
Yeah, they said the first, mm-hmm. so I know we haven't quite gotten to that yet, but the first sketch that you're talking about was, they had said it was potentially given by a 16-year-old girl.
Who yeah, hiking she had, day. It wasn't yes. from the video, she had walked, she had like passed him.
Yeah.
You're right,
yeah.
It so, was yeah, the second, I, that the second for sure. sketch.
Yeah, and the second one, they were saying it might have been a couple. But yeah, I know for sure both of them came from just people who were actually on the trail that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, And it was 222 pounds, sorry.
122 pounds?
He was emaciated.
I was like, tiny guy. You went, yeah, you went down, it went 180 to 120. I was like, yeah, oh, that's a weird way to say that.
Yeah. You know, it's the head cold. It's getting to me. So let's see here. September 2017, Indiana State Police are contacted by a Colorado Sheriff's Department saying that there might be a connection to the Delphi murders and a man named Daniel Nations. And so he is declared a person of interest. Lots of back and forth there. But going into January of 2018, a warrant is served to Daniel Nations for unrelated charges in Indiana. He goes to jail in February for failing to register as a sex offender, but these aren't related to the Delphi murders. So it's still like a lot of back and forth. And I know true crime people know this, but also throughout this entire process, it's the matter of dealing with all of the different jurisdictions. So there is a lot of in between back and forth through all of this. Again, this is just a quick summary, but as you can imagine, hopping states and then all of the different departments, it's getting pretty complicated for them. So fast forward 2 years, approximately April 2019, police released the new sketch saying while they do believe that the first person is the one of interest and who they believe they were looking for at the time, with the new developments being made, this sketch was based on, like you said, possibly another witness that was in the in the woods at the time. It does look pretty different, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm like, wow, it's like black and white.
Polar opposite in the first.
Yeah.
It's younger.
Younger, yeah, and squintier and just like so many. Yeah.
No facial hair. Yeah.
No facial. Yeah. There's it. And the whole, what is it called? When I'm totally blanking. People's recollection obviously can't be trusted, but we're talking 2 years later. It's like, oh my gosh. What we found out today was
that those sketches were drawn on the same day.
That's what
back at the beginning,
Hannah were saying.
They just didn't,
I feel like they didn't release. Yeah,
apparently they didn't, according to, and it's on them if this is fake news. But they seem to have done the, but yeah, they were done together, and then they decided that the account of the person that drew the one we saw first was more likely, because she said like she got a creepy vibe off this guy. That's why she remembered him.
Yeah.
So they just, so as to not to confuse people, they put that one out. They chose that one. And then after 2 years, nothing happened. Then they released the second one. But they were both drawn at the same time.
It makes no sense. And you, in my opinion, you are feeding into conspiracy by doing that.
Yeah.
Why not just release both sketches? Because they've done that with serial killers in the past. Anytime that they get a new sketch, they will release it because it could be somewhere in between. Again, poor recollection. So, and this also plays into the conspiracy. I think this is incredibly frustrating, but they're like, we are going to release a longer audio clip. This time they add in the word guys. So instead of just down the hill, it's guys down the hill. Obviously this raises a lot of conspiracy questions as to like, if you have an entire audio recording, why wasn't it released that way to begin with? Why? I mean, the more that you have to go off of, obviously it's going to be easier to identify an accent or an age possibly.
So I'm going to shit on this. Yeah, I'm going to ruin your conspiracy theory on this part.
Okay.
So the audio, they have 43 seconds of audio. This has never been said, but this is from what, cause I actually know Libby's sister, Kelsey. And she hasn't, you know, she hasn't confirmed this to me or not, but I've gotten some indications from her and from other family. What I believe happened here is that those were the only bits of that audio where you couldn't hear the girls, and they didn't want.
Yeah.
So they didn't. So you can imagine what the girls would be saying, doing sounds they were making during the attack. So they cut out just the pieces that they could isolate without you hearing the girls at the same time. Yeah.
But I think you're right, Cadence, like them releasing stuff like that or the two sketches without really giving any reasons as to why, like, why are we adding a new sketch or why are we adding just this one more word of audio? Like that definitely feeds into that. Like,
that's
conspiracy. Yeah.
That my frustration with the whole thing has always been the complete and utter total lack of information given. And I get like
100%.
Like you hold information back. You don't want you always want to hold something back that only the killer would know.
Oh, absolutely.
But in this case, Doug Carroll, the superintendent for the state police, it's just like, it's like he is like, his badge of honor is that I'm not going to share anything. It's like, well, maybe, and I don't want to judge because I don't know what's going on, but to me it feels like maybe it wouldn't have taken 6 years to solve this if the public had any fucking information at all about it.
Right. And what I had read too was that, and I don't know if this is credible, I mean, I read it on multiple different news stations, was that the prosecution and the family has requested that the records continue to be sealed. And I'm going to talk a little more about that later. But if that's the case, if the family is wanting that, I understand respecting what the family wants, but you're absolutely right. It's like, we are going on 6 years for this case to not be solved. Like, give the media, give the public something to work off of.
Well, and we're in a little different situation now because they've made an arrest. Right. So now they're trying to preserve a trial.
Right.
I hadn't heard that the family wanted the record sealed, but there was actually, and this will be weeks ago now by the time people hear this, but there was a hearing today about the records being sealed.
Oh, yeah.
And the judge heard the arguments and didn't rule.
Yeah.
They're going to rule later. So we still don't have a ruling on that.
But yeah, I think like just having it like when they did make that arrest and then we all found out they're going to keep those documents sealed, you know, the probable cause or whatever documents sealed, that like was a little, and like another frustration. Like I think a lot of us were hoping, oh, we're finally going to get some information. And
well,
you know,
and again, I don't want to, because I don't know what is in there. But at the same time, I've never seen, like, you're not going to ruin anything for a trial if you say we made this arrest based on DNA evidence, or we received a tip and this is why we made this arrest. Doug Carroll is obsessed with sharing nothing. Well, with sharing nothing. Like, again, like he boasts about it, about how it's such a big deal that they're sharing it. And as, of course, someone
prosecution
who does like crowdsource investigations for a living, and again, it may not have made any difference, it may have all the reason in the world, so I try not to be too critical of it, but all I keep thinking, you know, especially before this arrest was made, and we're 5 years into this, be like, maybe it's time to consider your not tell the public anything approach isn't working, and maybe try something new and see if we can help.
And I go kind of backtracking a little bit. I completely understand, like we've been talking about, not releasing everything to the public for investigative concerns or whatever their excuse is. There's also internet sleuths who think that they're investigators. They get way too involved sometimes. But I do think that there is something to be said that when you are dealing with children, you are dealing with something that is just unfathomable, that and overrun overworked departments that don't always have time for these things, that sometimes, I mean, we, for example, the person that comes to my mind is James Basinger with Hide and Seek Podcast and what he does as an investigator or a podcast investigator. It's like you get these people who are passionate about what they do and they have the time to investigate and interview and research and do all of this, that it's not always a bad thing. Like, I think giving us a little bit more, obviously things that aren't dire to finding the guy, but just something for these people who have the time and the passion to go and help. Like, it can't hurt always. Sometimes it can.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. There are people who go way too extreme. But I think that's what's a little bit unfortunate. And again, plays into the conspiracy with this case specifically, is they do make a big deal. They make such a big deal about being positive and we've got this and we're on the right track. But then it's, you know, here we are years and years, years later with with essentially nothing. But
did you guys see what the prosecutor said in the hearing today?
I didn't.
They said, we do not believe that he, I don't remember the exact verbiage, but essentially the prosecutor said, there's someone else, that we don't think he acted alone.
They don't think that he acted alone.
Which we kind of thought, you know, in the press conference a couple of weeks ago, they said, you know, keep looking, he may not have acted alone. And then, but it was the prosecutor very clearly today said, they don't think he did, and they're still looking for someone else.
Right. Yep.
Which is why I think that's a huge reason why they're being so cautious about keeping everything close to the vest. Because they don't want to jeopardize it, which I totally understand. But at the same time,
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and that, and it's kind of hindsight's 2020. Like maybe back in the day, we could have got here sooner if these would have, you know, we would have had a little bit more. But who's to say that now? So, but that's kind of where at least my timeline ends. April 2021, we are looking into James Chadwell II. Obviously, the social media account with Anthony_shots comes into play. There's the whole conspiracy of, what was it, like a sex trafficking ring with that possibly playing into it. And it would also explain a lot of, you know, didn't act alone, why we can't identify one single person, why the sketches are so completely different. But I'm Alexa, is this kind of fall where you...
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, continuing where Cadence left off, you know, they started looking into Keegan Anthony Klein. So he was the one who created this fake social media account under Anthony Shots and was using it to lure in, you know, underage girls and get pornographic images and stuff like that. Well, come to find out in investigation that he was providing this account to many known sex offenders and other people that were interested in child pornography. It's also stated that this profile was one of the last profiles to communicate with Libby prior to the disappearance and the death.
On the day of.
Yeah, the day of. So Keegan Klein, he has been ruled out as the murderer or any involvement in the case, but he is on trial for 30 counts of child pornography and sexual exploitation of minors. And obviously his trial is set for January of next year.
Was he, I hadn't heard that. Was he officially ruled out as a suspect?
I had seen something like that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he was ruled out as a suspect. Now, I did read, I like going down the Reddit hole, obviously, like we know that that's not legit, but
you get on to me for Wikipedia, Alexa.
I know. But so I had read a distant family member of Keegan Klein. They didn't say their name, but of course they're like, oh, well, he's a distant cousin, blah, 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 whatever. So they had stated that they think he knows the perpetrator or perpetrators that did this because he kept track of everybody that he gave access to that account and he knows who was logged in when. Now, obviously, the investigators are going to look into that. And if that is true, I would hope, since he's facing a long, long life ahead of in prison, that he would do the right thing, you know, and just give up that information. But who knows?
Yeah, a lot of people think that he's already made some kind of a deal because there was the time, you know, 6 years into this, suddenly they move him, what, from the county jail to whichever one. They moved him jails. Then they go interview him in some remote location. And then suddenly they're serving search warrants. They're searching the river. And then a week later, Andrew,
why am I trying to play this?
No, Anthony. No. The guy that got arrested.
Richard Allen.
Oh, the new one? Which one?
Yeah. The guy that's arrested for the murders.
Okay. Richard Allen.
Richard Allen. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Then, you know, Richard Allen is arrested. So, now nobody knows. But it sure seems awful coincidental that because Cerruti say today that they also could see on his record where some of his charges were dropped, like right around that time. Like or the people were talking about that. It appears, not that that's what happened, but it appears as though he's making deals for information.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, and I couldn't validate that. I saw that on Reddit, too, you know, that a lot of his charges had been dropped, but I couldn't validate whether or not that was true or not. I do know that he does have 30-plus charges pending against him, and his trial is set for, you know, January 2023. You know, so then we get into Richard Allen. So he's the man who was arrested right around Halloween. And talking a little bit about him, I don't want to give him a lot of credit. That's one thing, you know, Cadence and I do. Obviously, we talk about serial killers and we talk all about, you know, their history and their childhood. But, you know, he was from Delphi, well, had lived there for 16 years. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, his house was only half a mile away from the middle school where Abby and Libby both attended. His house was also only a 5-minute drive to the Monon Trail. So that was, you know, a pretty convenient area. But it's also said that him and his wife and daughter went there periodically. I mean, it was a well-known area for the entire community of what, like 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. So it was just something that people did and visited often. He has no criminal history other than like traffic violations. And him and his wife had been married for a very long time. His wife is a veterinarian and very respected woman in the community, has a 28-year-old daughter, and the daughter at the time of the murders would have been 22 or 23 years old. So over the age, you know, obviously of Abby and Libby. And both of them have been ruled out with any involvement or any recollection of anything to do with this case, which I thought was very interesting. I don't mean to interrupt
you, but like that, where you said they've been ruled out, is that is that an announcement that's been made by the prosecutors or the state police? Because like I keep hearing people saying like people are ruled out, but I haven't seen the police or the prosecutors say that.
So many different news articles, like local news articles, are stating that the prosecution has ruled them out.
Okay, so it must be in like interviews they gave to the news. Okay.
Correct. Yep. You know, he was a pharmacy technician at Delphi CVS. And based off of what CVS has said, you know, to the public, they do routine background checks, stuff like that. But again, he didn't have a criminal history or a criminal background in any way, shape, or form. So nothing would have come up. CVS was shocked when they saw that he was arrested, obviously, as many other people. So how, like, in my mind, this case is such a mystery because it's like, how in the hell is he even connected? And as we know, you know, the media isn't giving us anything. So from what I could gather, there were a couple things that I thought was kind of weird. Kathy's wife posted many videos on her social media of Richard Allen. One of the videos is like her walking up to the car and he's in the passenger seat, and the jacket that he has on is like that dark blue color, which is the same color of jacket that's in the video that one of the girls had taken, right? So I thought that was a coincidence. But then again, you live in a tiny little town. Everybody could have that jacket, right?
So I actually did see something where somebody was able to like, and this may not be like 100% vetted, but somebody was able to zoom in and clarify the image enough of that jacket to actually identify like a brand. And it I remember exactly like what company, but it was apparel that was made only for like employees of whatever this.
Oh, wow.
It's like a Uniqlo apparel company. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but so that might not be like 100% a thing, but I have also seen that.
Being that would be fascinating.
Yeah. So if you could match those, that would be narrowed down.
I see reports and stuff like that, but I can't imagine. I spent so many hours with that photo. And like photo editing software and stuff, trying to like, there's just nothing. Pixelated when you get zoom in any more than
to say 100% that's true.
I would be shocked if that's accurate, and
who's to even know, like, what if he got it from Goodwill or something, you know what I mean? Like, and it was the previous employee's jacket and they don't wear it anymore because they don't work there. So you know, not to say that he isn't the one, we don't know. And there was another video of Kathy had filmed Richard walking like in the backyard, and somebody analyzed, like an expert analyzed his walk with the walk of the man in the video and said that it was a 100% match. So I thought that was very interesting as well. Me looking at the video, I'm nowhere near an expert to any of that, but it did look pretty similar. I mean, the shape and the build of the man in the video and the shape and the build of Richard in this video, which was in 2018, which I thought was very coincidental, like the time frame. If you think about it, an older man that age, you know, in his, he would have been in his late 40s at that time, his weight isn't going to fluctuate much within that like 6 months. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
So was is his wife, Kathy's his wife, right? Like that's it, right?
Kathy is his wife, yeah.
Are these things that she had just, people just found on her public social media or stuff she posted after he got arrested?
No, these are just things that people found. So she has since, her and Brittany daughter, have both deactivated all social media accounts.
I did see something on Facebook the other day that somebody was, I didn't check, but they were saying that Kathy has reinstated her, some of her social media now, but I don't, she probably took a bunch off, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I saw today that she created a new account, but it's under a different name. So same picture, different name.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I don't know if it's really her, but yeah. So this is just stuff that people had screen recorded, you know, prior to her taking her social media down.
Right. Well, it's this is crazy case as it's unfolding. We're running a little long here, so I'm going to direct people to your episodes on Delphi to get the full scoop and your full take on the conspiracies and what you guys think. So make sure you check that out. Their names are Cadence and Alexa, and the podcast is called Something Sinister. It is
just to be something sinister.
It's not that it's called something that is sinister. It's Something Sinister is the name of the podcast. And I said it five times. No one will forget it. Cadence and Alexa, it was great meeting you guys. And thank you so much for joining
us. Nice to meet you.
It was great to meet you. Can I ask you a quick question before we go? Because it's driving me crazy.
You can.
Has anyone ever told you you look like Mike Bear from the Dr. Phil show?
No.
You would.
No, I've never gotten that one. I don't know whether to be insulted or not.
I know.
He's great, but I was like, you look so familiar, and it's Mike Bear from Dr. Phil. Anyways, that's all I had to say. That's my contribution to this episode.
It's funny you said that, because I was, this whole time I've been sitting here, I was looking, thinking, I need to get different lighting in here. Why does my face look all glowy and red? So he must have a glowy red face.
Not at all.
All right. Well, with that, I'm going to look up who Michael Bear is to see if I'm insulted or not.
Thank you, guys. Like, this has been a blast.
Thank you.
So thank you absolutely for having us on.
It's for sure. Pleasure. Crime Binge is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Audioboom. Produced and edited by Kelly Behrens-Brink, our production manager and co-host is Erica Cantor. Music and show artwork was created by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com, and episode artwork is created by John Hayes. Our website, TrueCrimeBinge.com, was created by Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com. If you're a listener and would like to recommend a future guest or a podcaster that would like to request an interview, you can do so right on our website. And again, that web address is truecrimebinge.com. If you're enjoying the show, please do me a huge favor and take a minute to rate and review us on iTunes or whatever platform you're using to listen. Make sure you give us a follow on social media. We can be found everywhere at True Crime Binge. And thank you so much for listening. And make sure you tune in next Wednesday morning for another podcaster, another case, and another True Crime Binge.